is part of a sensation. In fact, I think in England they just voted on that. It just got it could be medicinal too, used considered medicinal. So, I mean, where are their real motives?
It's hard to tell what the motives are, but it's easy to tell what the results will be. The results will be they're going to catch on to this little workaround. All the stores are going to leave, and when all the stores leave, some of the customers will travel out, but it's really the customers that would have walked into a store one day that never will because it doesn't exist, when they would have had the bright idea to do it. And what does that mean? It means more people smoking. So you can't pass a law. Well, you can try, but it's very hard to say you just can't sell e-liquid in Chicago or anywhere. That's very, very difficult to do. But if you just tax it to such a ridiculous level that nobody's going to stay in business, well, you've just done the same thing, and maybe that's the motive. That'll certainly be the result one way or the other, though.
Yeah, the unintended consequences of government intervention. That's exactly
Well, I'm arguing that it might be intended. So.
Intended.
Yeah, I mean, the Chicago, I mean, just to park, I mean, our beachfronts we now pay to park on. You know, there's Chicago is not an inexpensive city. And just to go on taxes, I mean, Utah just proposed an 86% tax.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
86% tax. And the funny thing is when I Googled it, I don't know if this paper is a local it's an ABC affiliate. Utah teens support plans to raise e-cigarette tax, but the person that wrote it ended up saying critics say that such a tax would hurt adults using e-cigarettes to quit smoking cigarettes, while kids could simply find unregulated access to these products.
Speaking about Utah, there was a silent protest. During a press conference, and you know, this is Jeff Steyer and I think Greg Connolly were involved in this. Here's an article about it. You know, they didn't even want the people there who were against this to be silently protesting with you know, with some signs, and tried to get them removed, and the police tried to remove them, and you know, the vapors they resisted, and they were allowed to stay, but they don't. You know, they don't even want people expressing their First Amendment right to say, you know, we silently say we don't agree with this. You know, they just want us pushed into the corner. Yeah, it's depressing stuff. You know, and just speaking of other stuff, I mean, Alaska is trying to do 100% wholesale tax on vapor products. West Virginia, 7.5 cents per milliliter. 12% wholesale tax, and snus, they want to tax snus. New Jersey's looking to ban all flavors other than tobacco, clove, and menthol. Oregon, 50% tax on retail. That, you know, it's almost every state's going to do this. I'm shocked. I am so shocked that New York has not done any of these things yet. And here's what I think.
Wait for the bomb.
Well, yeah, I mean, you got to think it's coming at a certain point, but you know, the first thing New York did, you know, what Bloomberg wanted to do, and what he was, at least for now, successful at, you know, pending the lawsuit that I filed with Audrey from NYC Clash, the first thing they went after was just use in public spaces, and they rammed that through. It was ugly, though. It was very, very ugly, and it was not pleasant for them. During, you know, we were criticized for this at the time, and by we, I mean the people who were showing up at the public hearings and stuff. So, you know, we went and we gave our testimony. A lot of us also went to the meeting where the health committee was just to vote on it. Now, there was no public comment allowed then, so we weren't allowed to say anything or vocalize in the room. But when they went out of the room, they got to take an elevator to go to their office or wherever they're going after that. And we were on them. We were on them hard. And we were boisterous. It was scary for them. There was no physical interaction. There was no physical altercations, but we were in their face, yelling at them, riding the elevators down with them, saying, "How the hell could you do this?" I think that the only reason that New York hasn't gone after us anymore after the Bloomberg public use ban is because they're scared of us. They think we're fucking crazy. And I think that's good. At the time, people were saying, you know, you guys were so disrespectful. You were yelling, you were screaming at them. And yeah, we were. And I think it's the only thing that saved us from any taxes. And I think at this point, things are so bad when, you know, when it's said and done and it's already been passed and all that, get in their face. You know, make them scared of you because it's maybe it's the only thing that's going to save you from this stuff. I don't know.
Russ, and Jared, maybe. Mm-hmm. Here's the one thing that I've noticed, and I owe it to my father, to who was a politician, I should say. We go to fundraisers, aldermen, senators, congressmen, fundraisers all the time. I mean, once a month we're going to some type of fundraiser. It doesn't cost a lot, especially if you're a business owner. It's part of your investment. It's part of you being a voice, being heard. And the thing that the vaping community now just started to figure out is the only time we're heard by a politician is when we're up at arms, is when we're yelling, arguing, like you just said, you know, acting crazy. We need to be their friends. I mean, I have a lot of aldermen that are friends. I just saw, you know, Jesse White the other day. I have a lot of politicians that are friends, and they know who we are. They know, and as long as they know, they can represent us. But but most shop owners, and this is something I used to ask a few years ago, was to the shop owners, who's your alderman, committeeman, representative in whatever city? And I would honestly say 70, higher than that, 80% of them did not know, which is sickening. If you're a business, you should know this. You should be friends. You should make those outreach calls to them. You should support them. Because guess what? When it comes time for voting, what are they going to think? Should we vote for these nameless people? In fact, Alderman Joe, who do you know Joe Morano, right?
I used to live in his little fiefdom, yes.
Okay, exactly. I've known him many years. Mm-hmm. When I spoke to him, and he had, I don't know if you know this, but he had the most vape stores in his own district. And he's the one that proposed that, the tax. He's the one that brought up the tax. Initially, it was $1.25 per mil. Or, wait, was it? Yeah, $1.25 per mil, initially. So, they did us a big favor by only making it 55.
Nice guy.
Yeah. So, but when I asked, when I said, you know you have, he goes, really? I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Because none of the shop owners went to him.
Yeah. You know, I you're right, Rod. I happen to know for a fact that a lot of the e-liquid shops that were around when in 2013, when this was being, they reached out to Assembly Made, they couldn't get a return phone call. And that was part of the anger. The part of the anger was, hey, I'm a business in your district. And you can't, and so after numerous phone calls, you won't call me back. Now I'm here, you're in front of my face. Well, they got a piece of their mind. But hey, listen, there's a lot of ways to skin a cat. So, hey, listen, guys, I want to thank you so much for coming on the air tonight. Rodney, thank you so much. And Jared, any last words for people can go to.
Wait, Jared, I have one question for Jared.
Please.
Jared, right. Who is pro vaping as far as for our votes? It is an election year, and I think things are going to all the shit's going to hit the fan either after the election year. So who should we be looking for?
Just the local level you're speaking of?
Local. Let's go local level.
I would say a quick a Google search of anyone that voted against the budget. That would be a good start. And then any alderman that voted against the most recent tobacco tax increases, those would be the good places to start and to start trying to, again, make yourself known to them. And, you know, it doesn't take much to sway some of these people's votes when you get in front of them and you explain your position, and they've never had anybody ever confront them on anything. So your voices can be heard and can make a difference. And I would encourage everyone to check out our site at taxpayersunited.org, and we will be continuing this fight in Springfield for the foreseeable future.
thank you so much, Jared. I'll probably see you at one of those then.
Absolutely. I look forward to it.
Okay.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys. Hey, there they go. Rodney Conforti. Chicago Rod and Jared LaBelle from the Taxpayers United of America. Thank you so much for joining me tonight for a great discussion. Thanks a lot. Boy, it's depressing though, huh? Well, all right. So I got a couple of little things for you here. If you watch the last Democratic debate between it's just Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders at this point. It's very boring because I know all of their positions on all these things. I didn't think very much of any interest was going to happen. There was one thing that did happen. As soon as I heard it, all the hair on my body I got goosebumps. I just sat up, you know, because the whole rest of the time I'm just like, I don't even know why I'm watching this. I wasn't even planning on watching it, but I ended up watching it. So as soon as I heard this, I just stood up because one of the moderators asked just a completely ridiculous question to Sanders. You know, if you listen to the show regular, you know, I'm not voting for Sanders or Hillary. I don't like either of them. I don't like their policies. Well, Sanders seems like a nice guy. He just doesn't understand economics. But he's got some good ideas on drug war and, you know, some civil liberty stuff he's pretty good on. Hillary's just the devil. But, you know, I'm not in favor of either of them. But there was such an opportunity that Sanders had. Listen to this question that he was asked. Whoops. Here we go.
Senator, do you worry at all that you will be the instrument of thwarting history, as Senator Clinton keeps claiming that she might be the first woman president?
What that question is really asking is, does it really matter about anything that you believe in? Shouldn't you just step aside because your opponent is a woman? That's exactly what that question is stating. It's ridiculously preposterous on every possible level. And as soon as I heard that, I knew the exact right response, which, as you will hear, Sanders did not reply with. But the right response is you never want to fight or to answer a question on their own grounds with that regard, because it's just such a ridiculously, it's a sexist question. There's no good way out answering it at all, really, in the way that they're phrasing it. The right answer would be to throw it back on them, and he had an opportunity to do it in the most epic way, and which would have been as follows. I don't remember the moderator's name. Let's say her name was Jane. I don't know. Well, Jane, what I should probably do is defer the answer to that question to my opponent. Mrs. Clinton, should I drop out of this race because you're a woman? If you tell me to, I will. And it puts it right back on her. And Hillary would have been sat there with a little bit like a deer in the headlights. Another acceptable, but not as good, but another good answer would have been, well, Jane, I don't recall anyone asking that question of Mrs. Clinton when she was running against then-Senator Obama 8 years ago. Do you think that would have been a valid question for her? Well, instead we got this.
Well, you know, I think from a historical point of view, somebody with my background, somebody with my views, somebody who has spent his entire life taking on the big money interest, I think a Sanders victory would be of some historical accomplishment as well.
While it's not the ideal answer, I do give him credit for not playing the religious card, which he could have been, he has every right to, but I'm glad he didn't, because he could have said, well, I'm a Jew, and no Jew has ever been elected president, so that would have been of some historical significance. No, at least he didn't do that. And maybe part of it is because I think he's an atheist. He'll never say it, but he never does any Jewish stuff. So, but he is born a Jew. A Jew from Brooklyn, you know. He could have said that, and he didn't. I give him props for that. He just said, well, you know, I'm better on economy, so I'm better on, you know, I'm going to go after Wall Street, blah, blah, blah. So he missed an opportunity, but at least he didn't make the mistake they wanted him to. Because you have to understand, all these social justice warriors, they have a hierarchy. And Jews are not high on it. In fact, they're considered one of the oppressed. So that's a card they don't even consider you having the ability to play. So here's some other... Now, Hillary went on to say, oh, I don't want, you know, I don't want people to vote for me just because I'm a woman. I want them to vote for me because I'm the best candidate, which is bullshit, because she has played the gender card at every possible opportunity, except that one in particular, because the question was so ridiculous. Even I think she realized that, like, wow, did you really ask him that? You know, no, vote for me because I'm the best candidate, blah, blah, blah. But she's been playing this gender card every chance she could. I have some interesting examples for you. Let's see. So we can go back to a couple of debates ago. There was this exchange between, here's what Hillary had to say. The question was, is Bernie Sanders tough enough on gun control? Different issue, but here's what she said.
Secretary Clinton, is Bernie Sanders tough enough on guns?
No. Not at all. I think that we have to look at the fact that we lose 90 people a day from gun violence. This has gone on too long, and it's time the entire country stood up against the NRA. The majority of our country supports background checks, and even the majority of gun owners do. Senator Sanders did vote 5 times against the Brady Bill. Since it was passed, more than 2 million prohibited purchases have been prevented. He also did vote, as he said, for this immunity provision. I voted against it. I was in the Senate at the same time. It wasn't that complicated to me. It was pretty straightforward to me that he was going to give immunity to the only industry in America. Everybody else has to be accountable, but not the gun manufacturers. And we need to stand up and say enough of that. We're not going to let it continue.
We're going to bring you all in on this, but Senator Sanders, you have to be able to respond.
As the senator from a rural state, what I can tell Secretary Clinton, that all the shouting in the world is not going to do what I would hope all of us want, and that is keep guns out of the hands of people who should not have those guns, and end this horrible violence that we are seeing. I believe that there is a consensus in this country, a consensus that said we need to strengthen and expand instant background checks, do away with this gun show loophole, that we have to address the issue of mental health, that we have to deal with the straw man purchasing issue, Senator, and that when we develop that consensus, Senator, we can finally do something to address this crisis.
Governor O'Malley, you passed gun legislation.
So the key point in that exchange was Sanders, you know, I don't even know if he was directly addressing Hillary, like all the shouting in the world, because, you know, everyone just yells about gun control. I think that's what he was referencing. But Clinton did not pass up on the opportunity to call him out implicitly for being sexist.
When we fight to protect the equal rights of all our people, no matter what they look like or who they love, and when we fight to stop the epidemic of gun violence that's claiming innocent lives every single day in every corner of our country, that's fighting for women and men and fighting for America. You know...
She just cleared her throat. Get ready for the soundbite.
I've been told to stop, and I quote, shouting about gun violence. Well, first of all, I'm not shouting. It's just when women talk, some people think we're shouting. And... second,
God, they love it.
I will not be silenced because...
well, you will for now. Yeah, she plays the card every chance she gets. Here's another example. This is a great one. I'm sorry for this clip. It has some weird... I couldn't find it on YouTube, but there'll be some like weird talking about some kind of media player encoder. I don't know. I couldn't find it on YouTube, so I had to go to some weird site. But listen to the speech. Clinton again talking about, you know, Sanders is obvious. Sanders has called out Clinton multiple times, and rightly so, as being the number one Wall Street candidate. And that's a fact. She gets more money from Wall Street than anybody. So if anybody thinks, even for a second, that there's going to be any kind of real reform on Wall Street, which whatever they would do would probably wouldn't be a good idea, or whatever a typical Democrat would do or a progressive would do, probably wouldn't be a good idea. But if there's any doubt that Clinton would do it, it wouldn't be her. No. I mean, one thing you can listen, whether they'd be good, bad, or otherwise, as far as the ideas that Sanders has on regulating the economy, he's going to do it. I mean, his heart is pretty pure in that. His heart's in the right place. His brain isn't, but he's going to do it. He's honest about it. Hillary's a liar. She is brushed off every time. Why is Wall Street, all these firms, they're giving you, you show up for a half hour, they give you hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars for, well, she's like, I don't know. Just give me the money. It doesn't matter. I don't change my views. Nobody, no thinking person believes that. But here's a different approach that she took.
Grabian, the multimedia marketplace.
Sorry.
Not everything is about an economic theory, right? If we broke up the big banks tomorrow, and I will, if they deserve it, if they pose a systemic risk, Grabian, I will.
The multimedia marketplace.
Would that end racism?
No.
Would that end sexism?
No.
Would that end discrimination against the LGBT community?
No.
Would that make people feel more welcoming to immigrants overnight? I'm the only candidate who will take on every barrier to progress. I'm the only candidate who has a record of taking on those barriers.
Ow.
I'm the only candidate who will stand with you in every single fight, no matter how hard it is.
Oh, God. Anyway. The most salient stimuli on that was the screeching. But what a ridiculous thing to say. Would breaking up the banks, and she's like, I will if I, she won't do any of that, but that doesn't even matter. Would breaking up the banks end racism and sexism? Let me think about that. You know, I was thinking about trying to jerk off with a drumstick up my ass, but would that end racism? I was thinking of going to the laundromat and having the Chinese ladies separate the colors from the whites, but would that end sexism? I was thinking of hiring three prostitutes of different ethnic origin to do a dildo show for me tonight. Would that end suffering from the LGBT community? I was thinking of lighting all my pubic hair on. I mean, it's all the same. That's the same fucking argument. It's really kind of all she's got is the race and the sex card. She's playing it to the max. Sanders is kind of like limping along with it, you know, saying, oh, no, I do that too. He should just not do it at all. He shouldn't pander to them at all because none of those people are going to vote for him, no matter what. Because intersectional feminism, which is what Hillary is playing to, there is a hierarchy. It doesn't matter what you believe. It doesn't matter what you say. And it doesn't matter what you do. It just matters who you are. Are you a white male? You are on the bottom rung. You are, by default, evil, no matter how good you are or the things you do. It doesn't matter. Your privilege goes at the bottom. And then it's everything else. White women, black women, you know, the more ethnic or the more, you know, at the top of the rung would be a gay or, no, would be, a transgendered bisexual if that's possible. I'm not quite sure how that works. So you're a transgendered, bisexual Muslim woman. That means you can just run the streets and murder white men, and you're still a good person. I mean, you could do whatever you want at that point. So Sanders, being a white man, Jew, actually hurts him because they consider, like I said before, Jews are oppressors or whatever. So you can't. It doesn't matter what you say. He should, somebody smart would advise him, just don't talk to these people at all, because you can't. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you say or what you do. You are at the bottom rung of that ladder. You could argue that he's not even on the ladder because he's a Jew. It doesn't matter what you say. Just ignore them. And also, at least today, while these are some of the loudest people on social media, they don't actually account for a lot of voters. He should just ignore them completely. I mean, no one does it better than Trump. For, again, a candidate I don't like, but still, he doesn't just ignore them. He says shit to get them angry. And you know what? We are still barely, but we are still at a point today where these people, these intersexual feminists and social justice warriors, they are getting more unpopular by the day, because there was a time when nobody knew who they were, so nobody really thought favorably or unfavorably about them. And now people kind of know who they are, and they're like, wow, these people are racist, they're sexist, they're bigots, they're disgusting. They want nothing to do with them, and they're gravitating to the candidate who also panders to them the least, in fact, antagonizes them. This is good. That said, even if Sanders did get that excellent advice, I don't know if he has a hope. From being a Ron Paul supporter, I know as well as anyone that the system is rigged. It's even worse on the Democratic side. The superdelegate situation is devastating for Sanders. Like I said, I don't like either of them, but Sanders, or I just want Sanders to get the nomination, because it would just be a huge fuck you to the DNC. It would just be a huge crushing blow to them, and I would love to see them unhappy. Same thing with Trump, really. I don't like him, and I'd never vote for him, but it would be a huge fuck you to, it'd be a huge fuck you to the GOP. Here's a really interesting clip, though. I never really expected Trump to say this. I didn't really know a lot about, I knew that he was opposed to the Iraq war and all that stuff, but that was, that's when he was a Democrat. He's been a Republican for a matter of months, really, and he's not a Republican. But this is now, this is this month, this is less than a week ago. Listen to what he says about foreign policy in the Middle East.
Should we commit U.S. ground troops?
Well, Syria is a whole different thing. And you look at what's happening. I view ISIS as very important. And I love the fact that Russia is hitting ISIS. And as far as I'm concerned, they've got to continue to hit ISIS.
But Russia is doing in Syria. Russia is hitting,
they're hitting
groups that we're backing.
Sure. And why are we backing the group? We don't even know who those people are. I speak to generals. They're saying we're giving billions of dollars of equipment to people we have no. Here we go again. We're giving all of this money and all of this equipment to people we have no idea who they are. They're probably worse than Assad. I mean, Assad's no baby. He's not good. But who are the people that we're backing? Here we go again with Libya.
That's President Obama's argument.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's good. Who the weapons will fall into whose hands.
We have no idea. Well, why is he doing that? I mean, he's giving them a lot of weaponry.
You say you have a good relationship with Putin, or would have a good relationship?
I think I would have a very good relationship, but who knows?
So could you convince Putin to get Assad to step aside?
Well, they've been trying to do that. Yeah. Could I? I don't think it's that important, to be honest with you. I think, frankly, let's say you get rid of Assad or you knock out that government. Who's going to take over? The people that we're backing? And then you're going to have, like, Libya, right? You take Gaddafi. Oh, we have to get rid of Gaddafi. Look what happened after we got rid of Gaddafi. Look what happened after we got rid of Gaddafi.
So getting rid of Gaddafi was a mistake.
It was just, to me, it was a total mistake. I mean, Benghazi was the least. Look at what's going on over there. It's a mess. Nobody knows anything about anything. You look at Saddam Hussein. We get rid of Saddam Hussein. The terrorists, it's the Harvard
of terrorism. So getting rid of Gaddafi and getting rid of Saddam Hussein were both mistakes.
Had we not done anything, had our politicians gone to the beach and enjoyed the sun, we would be in a lot better position than we are right now. Saddam Hussein, no good guy, but Saddam Hussein killed terrorists. Now Iraq is the Harvard of terror. You want to become a terrorist, go to Iraq. They'll teach you how, okay? Mm-hmm. Saddam Hussein was a bad guy. But, you know, one other thing he did, he blocked Iran. I mean, once you knocked out that section, all of us, and I said it in 2003, 2004, I was against the war. I said, you're going to have the Middle East is going to be a mess. They used to fight forever. They couldn't move. They go 10 feet one way, 10 feet the other. Now you have a total destabilization in the Middle East because we know.
Everything he just said was 100% right. That might have been from a Ron Paul or a Rand Paul speech. I mean, wow. So, shit. I mean, I don't know. It seems like the guy who's going to get, you know, if he's president, commander in chief, seems like the guy who's going to get the least amount of our troops killed for bad reasons would, I guess, be Trump. Crazy, huh? It's a fucking weird world.